May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 378. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. Hymn 378.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we'll read this morning the 22nd chapter in the Gospels recorded by Luke. Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us a Passover, that we may eat." And he said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" He said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." They went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto them, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and with scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. They said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray, ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, "Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, "Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. When they blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." They said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." May God bless unto us his word of truth and help us in prayer. Almighty and holy Lord God, thou who art the sovereign ruler of the skies, we pray that thou wouldst come now and be the sovereign ruler of this assembly, and help us now to worship thee. Grant that we might know who it is that we profess now to worship. Give us a view of thy greatness. Of thy majesty. Of thy almighty power. Of thy unerring wisdom. Thy faithfulness and love. And help us to worship thee, Almighty God, in spirit and in truth. May we be conscious of thy holiness and purity, and of our unworthiness to be found in thy presence. And yet, Lord, we would rejoice that we come to worship the friend of sinners. And as such, we now come unto thee. We cannot come, Lord, as righteous and sinless. We can only come as we are, poor, vile, polluted sinners, worthy of thee to reject and turn thy back upon us. And yet we pray that for the sake of Jesus Christ, thou wouldst receive us graciously and have mercy upon us. And show us thy loving kindness, thy compassion, thy tenderness, thy smile, and thy love. And we know that full, complete, and eternal pardon from thy hand. Which once given is irreversible. and eternal. Give life to those who are dead, who know not that they are sinners, who know not that they are accountable to thee, and that they must spend a never-ending eternity in eternal happiness or in eternal despair and torment and pain. Show them, Lord, their danger, and show them the refuge for sinners which thou hast made. Open the eyes of the blind. Unstop the ears of the deaf. And give feet of faith to flee to the refuge, Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. Give pardon to the guilty. Grant, Lord, that there may be those who this day come into thy house, polluted in sin, who leave thy house, feeling the pardon and the preciousness that is found in Jesus Christ. Give unto them that peace with heaven, that assurance that their sins are blotted out and forgiven, that they have a place upon thy heart and a place reserved for them in heaven. Give direction to those who know not what way to take. Bring back those who have strayed. May the rebellious be brought to thy feet. May the hard hearts be softened. And may each of our hearts be prepared to receive the word of God. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst speak. Speak the word of power and authority into each heart. And send none unmoved or untouched away this day. We ask thy blessing to rest upon this people, that thou would supply their every need. Do bless our dear brethren, the deacons of this cause, and help them in the office that thou hast called them to. Give them all needed wisdom and grace and discernment. May they know thy help and thy blessing. Grant thy help in the choices of the praises that we sing. May we sing them with the understanding and the heart. Bless each member of this church. Unite them in thy fear and love. Keep them together. Give them grace and wisdom. Help them to walk out their profession. And do add unto them those whom thou hast eternally saved. Be with them in their church meetings. Be with them when they meet around thy table at thy command to remember thy love. Protect them, bless them, feed them, water them. Tend unto them. Be unto them the heavenly gardener. And often walk in the garden of this church. Bless thy servants who preach in this pulpit, and direct their heart and their words into the message which thou wilt use for this people. May there be a living ministry maintained here. May the manna and the smitten rock be poured upon this people. And do bless each member of the congregation, and put thy fear in their hearts. Remember those who are unwell. Do visit them with thy healing touch, and do sanctify affliction's pathway. For Lord, each affliction is a reminder that we're not here forever. Bless parents and help them to bring up children in thy fear. And help them to often lay their children before thee in prayer. And may they live to see those prayers answered. Open doors for them and supply their every need. Bless those in the midst of life and its burdens, concerns, exercises, trials, needs. Grant that help to look up, to cast their burden upon the Lord and prove thou wilt sustain them. Thou wilt never suffer the righteous to be moved. Bless those in old age and weariness and weakness of the body, loneliness, and as the shadows of life lengthen. May it be their ever increasing concern and exercise to be made ready to depart. To be with thee. Lord, in that great day of judgment, when thou wilt return in thy power and glory, as we've read, when thou dost sit at the right hand of the power of God, may this be a complete church and congregation at thy right hand. May none be left out. When thou shalt come to call thy ransomed people home. Do remember this guilty land and nation, and send forth thy Spirit and turn us back to thee. Open the eyes of our rulers. Call them by thy grace. Constrain them to govern this nation in the ways of righteousness. And do visit every home in this land with that true repentance and faith toward God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do bring in thy sheep, dead but whom thou hast ordained must eternally live. So we pray, Lord, build up thy church, that Satan's kingdom may be diminished, that thy name may be honoured and glorified again in this land. We thank thee for thy mercies. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge with true thankfulness day by day thy mercies and kindness and providence. For our health, our homes, our strength, our faculties, our possessions, our careers, all that we have, Lord, we owe to thee. And they are no less mercies because thou dost renew them day by day. We do not deserve them. In fact, Lord, we must acknowledge we deserve them less each day because we sin more each day. Grant then, Lord, that thankfulness for thy mercies. And grant that thankfulness for those eternal mercies that are found in Jesus. Lead us now, we pray, to thy wounded side, that rock smitten for sinners. And may we find in thee a refuge and a shelter. We plead, for Jesus' sake, amen.
part of hymn number 298, concluding at verse 5. The Canaanites still in the land, to harass, perplex and dismay, brought Israel of older to stand, for Anak was stronger than they. What God had designed they possessed, supported and kept by his hand. Yet lest on their knees they should rest, the Canaanites dwelt in the land. Hymn 298, concluding at verse 5.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn to Gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 22, verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is in the last hours of his life. He is drinking that cup of suffering and of death. And part of the element of that bitter cup was this fall of his loving disciple Peter. Earlier that same evening, the Lord had warned Peter of Satan's desires. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Satan, friends, desired not just Peter, but he desires every one of the human race. He desires their eternal destruction. His designs are nothing less that he may drag them down to hell with him, and that eternally, that they may perish. That was his designs on Simon Peter, and that is his designs on you and me when he tempts us into sin. No matter how much he may and does deceive by telling us that he has our best interests at heart, his only interest is our utter, total destruction at last. And the one thing that saved Simon Peter from joining Judas Iscariot in going out and hanging himself was this: I have prayed for thee. How kind of the Saviour that in the midst of all his vast concerns at this time, the sorrows of death hanging over him, the bitterest of all cups and the greatest of all burdens before him, he still prays for his disciple. But I have prayed for thee. Friend, what more can you want in your trials, in your adversities, in your burdens, in your temptations, If you have this, you have everything, but I have prayed for thee. That thy faith fail not. It reminds us of another occasion. Disciples on that lake of Galilee, toiling and rowing. In that storm, tossed with waves. While they were toiling, the Lord was praying for them in that mount. And child of God, while you this morning are tossed in the sieve of Satan, tossed with his temptations, tossed with his accusations when you fall in his temptations, tossed with grief and burdened by guilt, wondering if you're ever going to come out of this trial. While you toil in heaven, Lord prays for you. I have prayed for thee. Before the throne of God above, you have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever pleads and lives for you. Your name is written on his heart. Your name is graven on his hand. And while in heaven he stands, no hand can bid you then depart. Satan is no match for the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was surrounded and protected by these prayers. And although he was permitted to go to a certain degree, there was a point beyond which Satan couldn't touch him. And child of God, Satan would be permitted to go so far and not one step further. You say, why is he permitted to go so far? First of all, because your wise heavenly Father has sovereignly permitted it to be so. And you must submit to that wise hand. But secondly, for your teaching, for your good, in answer to your prayer that you may be given more grace, more faith, more love, more dependence. Like Peter, you love your Lord. Peter was in this judgment hall because he loved his Lord. And the Lord knew it. He followed afar off out of love. Peter and John were the only disciples who followed the Lord to the judgment hall. Where were the rest? Yes, he followed afar off, but at least he was following. But friend, if you follow the Lord afar off, that will be when you're vulnerable. The lion will not attack that sheep or lamb that follows the closest to the shepherd, because he knows that the shepherd will protect and immediately take notice. He'll target that one straggling, that one at the back, that one not keeping up. When it becomes separated, it will become vulnerable. And hoping that the shepherd won't notice, it will come in for that quick attack. And that's what Satan does. Of course, the difference is the good shepherd always notices and always has his eyes on his sheep. But that doesn't give us the right to follow afar off. Seek to follow as close as you can to the good shepherd. But Peter loved his Lord. He truly meant it when he said that he was ready to go with Jesus, both into prison and to death. And you too, in your way, have meant it, haven't you? When you have said to the Lord, Lord, I love thee. But like Peter, you've got to be brought to rest, not in your love for the Lord, but in his love for you. Peter was resting in his self-confidence, in pride. He was sure that he was more deeply taught than the rest of the disciples. And though all men forsake thee, that will not I, he says. And again, he was being sincere. And friends, there was much hidden pride that Peter couldn't see, which had to come to the top and be exposed. Before Peter could be useful, he had to be humbled and brought down to nothing. Before he could strengthen his brethren, he had to come into the place where he needed God's strength himself. He had to be emptied of that great I. And that is why you have come into that trial and temptation. You thought you would never fall into sin again. And yet this morning you come into the Lord's house staggered by what you have been permitted to fall into this past week. And you wonder, have you mistaken the way? Were you completely deceived? Was it all a delusion? No, it was not a deceit. The Lord did call you by grace. He did come to you with that love and allow you to drink of his loving kindness and tender mercy. But now he's deepening that work. He's teaching you your need of mercy, your need of dependence, your need of him. And that need is far greater than even you realize this morning hour. but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. A faith that fails is not worth having. A faith that fails is not saving. And much faith today is not God-given. You have as much real religion as what God has given you, and no more. Now, how much have you and I got? The faith which God gives will be tried. It will be tested. It will have all the power of Satan come against it. But it won't fail. Not even in the trial. And child of God, you'll come through. You'll come out like Peter did. But you'll come out a lot more humbler than you went in. You'll come out smaller. You'll come out more dependent. You'll come out like gold refined. There'll be much dross which has been burned up and lost. But that grain of faith will endure and will come out. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. What a blessing to have an interest in the prayers of the Saviour. One of his offices in heaven now is to pray for his people. As at the right hand of the Father, he stands. He pleads every one of their causes. He is the advocate of the Father. He is the friend of sinners. An advocate is someone who, in a court of law, is like the friend and counselor of the accused, who stands by them and helps them in their hour of need. Jesus is our advocate in heaven. But of course, don't forget also that the Father is the friend of sinners, and the Holy Ghost also. The Father isn't the enemy of his people. He's not the enemy of that coming sinner seeking for mercy. But in a special way, the Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed as the advocate to take the cause of that coming sinner. And so when you present your prayers before heaven, there is so much in them that is sinful and wrong. There are those petitions that we ask for, which is not to God's glory and honour that we should have, nor would it do us any good. And there is so much because of our lack of wisdom that we leave out, that we should ask for. The Father, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes those prayers. And he presents them before the throne of God the Father. He leaves out all those sinful desires that we brought in our prayers. They're not presented before the throne. And he adds those things that our prayers lacked. And so he presents a perfect prayer to his Father. And he spreads before his Father his hands with those wounds. And the Father sends down those answers of peace with a smile. I have prayed for thee. He has prayed that you be given strength, wisdom, grace to endure. He has prayed that you might be kept from sinking into despair. And his eye is ever looking upon you in love and mercy. O trembling one, this morning, he regards as very precious those who he has suffered for, those who he has bled for, those who he has died for. And even in this hour, in this judgment hall, the Lord regarded Peter with covenant love and mercy. And child of God, this morning in your tribulation and temptation and trial, he looks upon you in the same way. Even this morning hour before you came to God's house, like Peter, you've had to weep bitterly over your tears. But may you this morning be given the faith. Here Peter goes out and weeps bitterly, and the Lord goes forth to Calvary to atone for this very sin of denial that Peter had just committed. May you, in the midst of your tears, be enabled by faith to see the Lord going forth to Calvary to atone and to suffer and to be punished for those very sins that this morning you are grieving over and mourning over and repenting over. To hear him say, I suffered all for thee. And coming sinner, you who feel so unworthy, you who feel so lost, so black, so vile, so polluted, you're welcome to come to the throne of grace. Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for sinners. He died for the vilest of sinners, the worst of sinners, the most hopeless of sinners. Then come as the worst, the vilest, the most wretched, the chiefest. And seek a place in his prayers. You won't find pardon and peace by staying away. We read of this prayer of the Lord Jesus. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read one of his prayers, and the three times that he prayed was this: if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Why didn't that cup pass from him? Because it is not possible that your sins and mine can be pardoned any other way than through that path of suffering he had to go through. If it were possible that you could earn salvation yourself with good works, Jesus would never have gone to Calvary. If it was possible that you could earn salvation yourself, that cup would have passed from him, but it didn't. And there is a witness. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way that you and I will escape the damnation and the pain and the torment of hell. But through the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's cross. If you and I are strangers to the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it means nothing to you, the sufferings of Christ, if you're strangers to them, then you'll be a stranger to heaven's glory at last. It is vital for your eternal well-being for Jesus to have said of you and of me, "But I prayed for thee." Doesn't mean that he will necessarily, literally come into our hearts and say these very words. But you'll know the fruit of them in your life. Why? Where's the fruit that he's prayed for you? When you've received answers of peace for your soul. When you've received that encouragement, that help, that deliverance, that mercy. That precious promise which gave you an encouragement to go on. That peace that you knew and Satan had to flee. That little assurance that he had loved you with an everlasting love. It's because he prayed for thee. Because he looked upon you in love and in mercy and in kindness. Why is it that you have been brought this far to say that Jesus Christ is precious? Because he's prayed for you. Because he has looked upon you. Because he's remembered you. You wouldn't find Jesus precious if you were a stranger to him. You find him precious because you have been brought by sovereign grace to know something of him as a saviour. You find him attractive. You may not even be able to say with confidence he's your saviour. But you find it precious that he is the saviour. Go on. Go on seeking. Go on knocking. Go on asking. And in time you will be able to say, he is your Saviour. He is only precious to the sheep. And if he's precious to you, then you must be precious to him. because he's always first in the matter. If you love him, it's because he first loved you. And therefore you have an interest in the prayers of Jesus. You have an interest in the death of Jesus, in the sufferings of Jesus, and in the life of Jesus. The Lord Jesus was sent into this world to save sinners. Because, beloved friends, we cannot save ourselves. God the Father in love and mercy sent his Son to save those who he loves. And he saved them first of all in his life. That perfect life, that spotless life, that holy life that he lived, which honored the Ten Commandments in every word, thought, and deed, and action, and every motive. Where you and I have dishonored and disobeyed that law, and for which we will be held accountable for, Jesus honored and obeyed at all times and in all places. He obeyed as a man the law of God. And he obeyed that law for sinners. These coming sinners who he draws unto him. These sinners who he teaches by his Holy Spirit that they are sinners, and that they have no righteousness of their own. The more you see your own unrighteousness, your own sinfulness, and your own inability to keep the word of God as it should be kept, the more precious you will find the righteousness of Christ, the obedient life he lived. The more you will appreciate its value, the more you will be brought to trust in it. And then you will be brought to trust in the sufferings of Christ. To trace the love of God in Christ Jesus as he lays down his life, as he stands condemned to death, and as in the sinner's place he suffers on that cross, bearing the agony, the shame, the torment, the almighty anger of God against every sin that his church has committed. He paid in full that debt. He paid to justice all its due. As the hymn writer say, O love beyond conception great, that formed the vast amazing plan, where all divine perfections meet to reconcile rebellious man. There wisdom shines in fullest blaze, and justice all her rights maintains. Astonished angels stoop to gaze, while mercy over the guilty reigns. Yes, mercy reigns, and justice too. In Christ they both harmonious meet. He paid to justice all its due, and now he fills the mercy seat. Such are the wonders of our God and the amazing depths of grace. To save from wrath's vindictive rod the chosen sons of Adam's race, he fills the mercy seat, having paid in full all that debt that was demanded. And once the debt is paid, it's finished, done, complete forever. That word, finished, when our Saviour cried, "It is finished," means, in the original Greek, the complete payment in full of a debt. Child of God, there's nothing to pay. He had the gracious ability to pay in full even the debt of your vile, black, polluted, wretched sins. You couldn't pay that debt, but he paid that debt. And poor coming sinner who this morning can't feel with the confidence that you would like, but yet you long to know that your debt is paid, then may you by faith be enabled to come. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. He's able to forgive, he's able to pardon, he's able to cleanse even the very worst of sinners. Now, of course, remember, he didn't die for all sinners. He died only for those who he has loved. But come this morning, poor sinner. You can't come feeling elect. You've got to come feeling lost. But come as a lost sinner. And he won't cast you away. The time is gone, so I must close. We haven't even got to the text, have we? But may there have been some profit in what we have said this morning. May it be your desire and mine to have an interest in the prayers of the Lord Jesus, and for the Lord to turn and to look upon us in mercy, in kindness, in compassion, in faithfulness, and in covenant love.
We are very thankful for the collections last Lord's Day, which were for the persecuted Christians in the Middle East and amounted to £2,818.50. God willing, Mr. Pont will preach on Tuesday evening, not on Friday evening as it shows in the list. Mr. Timothy Parrish will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And we hope to hold a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Sunday morning. And our friends at Ben Stanton hope to hold their anniversary services on Saturday. Let us close with part of hymn number 802. We'll sing verses 15, 16 and 17. 20, 21, and 22. Hymn 802. verse 15, sinners, vile like me and lost, if there was one so vile as I, leave more righteous souls to boast, leave them and to refuge fly. We may well bless that decree which ordained Gethsemane. Hymn 802, singing verses 15 to 17 and 20 to 22.
Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing and take us under thy safe care. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each, now and forever. Amen.